It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons and Carolina Panthers Sunday from Charlotte. Kick at 1 o'clock. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. That'll lead you to the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 11, brought to you by Bud Light, America's favorite game day light lager. And, of course, the kickoff at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And this game that has turned into Hugh Douglas, at the beginning of the year, we looked at this on the schedule and we said, here it is, Sunday, December 23rd. And
it looked like it would be a lot more exciting than it is.
We were circling
but
that.
Now we got Taylor Heinicke and Matt Ryan squaring off.
Taylor Heinicke.
All right, Taylor.
Taylor Heinicke played at Old Dominion. Now, it is interesting that Taylor Heinicke is a local guy. He played at Collins Hill High School here in Atlanta, and he went to Old Dominion. He's been in the league for 4 years, and Hugh, his career cumulative stats are 3 for 5 for 56 yards. And they're talking in the Charlotte papers. The players are like, yeah, Taylor looks great, man. He throws a great deep ball and all that kind of stuff. Dude's 3 for 5 for 56 yards. That's virtually zero playing time in the NFL.
Yeah, and he threw for 46 yards so far this season. He has a 91.7 QBR rating with no touchdowns. I mean, this is one of those games where, you know the young man hasn't played a while. I would think that the Carolina Panthers would rely heavily on the run game. I mean, that's the only thing that makes a lot of sense, and try to keep it in manageable downs, try to keep their defense, try to let their defense play and see if they can do some things on that side of the ball. It's going to be a tough one. It all depends, man. We've seen over the last few weeks the Atlanta Falcons came alive, scoring their most points of the season last week. It's a little different animal with Carolina because, you know, you've seen each other a lot, and it's always a little tougher when you're playing your division rival. So it's going to be one of those things where when you look at this young quarterback, you should be able to pull it out. You really should.
And the Falcons, of course, will be on the road for the final two games, both the division games, Carolina and Tampa. A little bit of a relief, I guess that's a word, in Flowery Branch this week after the performance against the Arizona Cardinals last week. And I get, look, we talked about it earlier, the fans that don't want this team to win now, they're just screwing it up by winning. But if you're on the team, because put yourself in a position where, you know, you're on the team, you're one of the players on the team. Are you going to go out and lay down? Or are you playing for your contract, your job, you want to win? What do you care about the draft? You don't, right? I would hope not. When you're not sitting there as a player, you saying, you know, if we all got together and kind of tanked a little bit, we could get a better draft pick and somebody could come in and take my job.
I ain't never heard of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't. I mean, I played on some bad teams. Now I've had some guys that looked around and, like, they might have made their reservations for vacations with their significant others. But you best believe before you leave, you got business. You got business you got to take care of. So, you know, they had to take care of the business.
Falcons beat the Carolina Panthers earlier in the year in week two when things were kind of looking up for the Falcons. They beat them 31-24, and now they get a chance to sweep them on the season. Matt Ryan and Dave Archer talked about the game as those two chopped it up, getting ready for Sunday's game. All right, hang on. We'll get you to Matt and Dave here in just a moment. Get ready for this game. So now to this game, no Cam Newton. You know, the interesting choice, not choice, Hugh, because I don't think Ron Rivera had any choice. I think Cam's shoulder is so bad that they had no choice but to shut him down. Carolina's lost 6 games in a row, but there are a lot of people saying or were wondering if he would play Cam Newton even with that bum shoulder because of the fact that Ron Rivera's job might be on the line.
It's one of those things, John, where you're worried about his future because this is something that has been hampering him all season long. And he played with it as long as he possibly could, but mm-hmm. Now it's time to shut him down. It is. And it's really, when you look at a situation like that, you're looking at it from a long-term standpoint, and you don't want to damage your quarterback long-term.
The quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons having another marvelous year, now suddenly a Pro Bowl alternate, though he should have been voted to the Pro Bowl. But that's another story. Talking with former quarterback Dave Archer as those two went 1st and 10.
About our brotherhood, man. How tight we can get.
This is the 1st and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan on the home for our Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
You go to Carolina, so it's a scenario, a team you know very well, but you haven't seen them since week 2. How much has that changed things?
Well, it's It's definitely, we've got different personnel. They've got Thomas Davis back, who we didn't see the first time. Eric Reed's a little bit different at safety from what we saw the first time. So personnel on our side is a little bit different. You know, we had Brandon Fusco playing for us at that time as well up front. So that part of it's a little different, but the scheme is very much the same. Ron Rivera is now calling the defenses for them, which has a little bit different flavor, but it's a lot of the same things schematically.
Two Boston College guys going head-to-head, Luke Kuechly and you, and we've talked about this before. Is that a matchup that you're well aware of, or can you can't get lost in the fact that you and him kind of going head-to-head trying to figure each other out?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, and you know, he does such a good job of getting them in and out of things in their defense, and he's very instinctive, but he's also very well prepared for games. So we've got to keep them off balance. We've got to give them multiple different looks and try and neutralize their strengths. But for us, it comes down to attacking them, and we've got to put our guys in position to be successful.
A breath of fresh air for you, run game last week. That was kind of nice to see. Tevin got rolling, but the offensive line did a nice job of sorting out and getting a hat on a hat for you.
It's huge. You know, when you play an aggressive type defense like the Arizona Cardinals, where they'll have eight guys down in the box a lot, if you get hats on hats, you've got opportunities for big runs to come out the back end. And that was the case for us. I think we had four or five explosive runs, which is awesome. And those explosive runs, you know, it make it difficult on a defense. It changes how they play schematically, and it opens things up.
You and I talked about this post-game, getting a couple of short field opportunities. It's something you haven't been presented with. You know that defense has been grinding, trying to make it happen, but they did in this game. They even got a score for you. How much did that change the tempo of the game?
Well, I mean, that's huge. I mean, they come up with the pick six. We get two more short field opportunities that we take advantage of, walking away with points. That's the difference in football games. When you can create turnovers and protect it on the offensive side of the ball, and you're opportunistic with your short field opportunities, that's the recipe for success in this league.
Your young guys have stepped up and contributed. Obviously, we know what the young receiver's done, but Ito Smith, your young running back, not going to be able to go the rest of the season. What does that do? I know people have to step up, but how much more of a load does that put on Tev?
Well, it definitely puts, more of the load on Tevin. He's taken a lot of it this year for us, and he's done a great job with that. You're always disappointed for a guy like Ito when you get nicked up this time of the year and you're not able to finish. It's hard because he was getting better week in and week out and playing really good football for us. So we feel for him, but Tevin's, going to carry a lot of the load for us, and it's an opportunity for a young guy like Brian Hill to get some chances to showcase what he can do.
Well, I know how much you get kind of get rolling for these divisional games. He'll get you a win.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
It was Dave Archer and Matt Ryan, 1st and 10 ahead of the game on Sunday between Falcons and Carolina. You get ready for this game, and again, meaningless game with Carolina losing 6 in a row and the Falcons coming in at 5-9, which just makes me scratch my head because I never would have thought this at this point in the season. All right. Well, what are you going to do?
Strange thing in the NFL, yep. how those things work.
Yeah. Like you said, I agree, Hugh. I mean, next year they're going to have to come and show. Because this is still a good football team. And that's what, that's what makes this so infuriating this year. And that's why I was so frustrated by this season. You know, talk about the injuries and whatnot, but boy, they're gonna win. They're gonna end up probably with two. I think they're winning out, and they're gonna end up with 2 3-game win streaks, and they're gonna end up with 7 wins. All right.
I mean, that's what you hope for. But again, next year's not guaranteed. You hope that they do better next year. But again, John, we're talking about, there's rumors out there that we're firing our defense coordinator and our offense coordinator. So there's going to be a learning curve. There is. I mean, this team has a lot of talent. So whomever, if that is the case, if they decide to move on from both coaches, whoever comes in here is going to have to come in here, and it's going to be another situation where he has to fall in lockstep with what Coach Quinn wants to do. And I think it's only fair to say that if it goes south again next year, if all these are like scenarios, these are ifs. If it goes south again, then Coach Quinn might be in a little bit of trouble.
No question. I think he is. Yeah, you're under warning after a year like this for next season. I think that's absolutely
true. Because it's like with this talent, now you're starting to look at cats getting older. Quarterback's a little bit longer in the tooth. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones has had foot issues that he's dealt with. Now, granted, Julio's fought through a lot of injuries that he's had over the season, but, eventually they will catch up with you. So you're concerned about some of that stuff.
It is a Falcons Friday, looking ahead to Falcons Carolina. Did you see what Robert Alford said about, he told ESPN in that interview, he says, talking to Von McClure, he said, I feel like I'm a top 10 cornerback in the league.
What is he supposed to say?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, do you think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league?
Corner?
Yeah.
No. But, again, what is he supposed to say? That you would be hard-pressed, John Freakin, from on a 53-man roster to find one guy who doesn't feel like he's as good or better than the guy that if he's not a starter that he should be starting in front of. That's the ego of the NFL. Now, as a fan of the game and a guy who's played the game, no, he's not that. But I don't have a problem with him saying that. Now, if that's how you feel, Robert Alford, if you're listening to this show this morning, getting ready, making your turkey, whatever, then you need to go out there and play like it. I mean, because those holding penalties and those penalties that you get, you are killing your football team at a time where they don't need to be killed any more than they're being killed, if you get what I'm saying.
You don't put your team
– If you are that elite corner that you think you are, you don't put a team that's already struggling in a bad spot by doing things of that nature, because the elite ones, I don't really see them doing too much of that.
Yeah, because I think that Robert Alford, he can go out there and say he's a top 10 cornerback in the league, which I don't think he is either. But I think what is going to happen is there's going to be like this cold slap of reality when the Falcons come in and say, well, we want you to restructure and take a little less.
That does not necessarily mean that he still doesn't think he's the top five corner. Still don't mean that he doesn't think that. It's just that the Falcons don't think that they're going to take some of that money back that they gave.
Yeah, and if he does, he's going to, wait a second, I thought I was a top 10 corner. I don't think you are. And, you know, in his defense, Rocky did get kind of, and whether it was earned or not, he'll remember early in his career when he came out, he kind of got a rep, and he was getting some flags like a couple of years ago. He would get flagged, and you'd say, what in the world was that? That
was money.
Right.
He was money for the other team. Like, if you need a first down, hey, go to Rocky, because he's going to probably hold. Like, that's not – when you're elite corners, and again, I'm not trying to diss him. If he is, I'm not trying to diss you. But these are things that, you know, you can put on tape and you can see. Like, these are facts. Like, nobody throws at the elite corners. Nobody throws through the Josh Norman side too much. Nobody threw at Deion ever in life. Deion used to have to try to bait. Even when he was baiting people to throw over there, they still wouldn't throw over there. So that's what elite corners do. Darrell Revis, whatever you want to call him, he was one of those guys. They called it Revis Island for a reason. If you want to be mentioned in the name, if you feel like you're elite, then you have to start doing elite stuff. You have to.
This is a chance for some guys to, you know, show other teams what they can do, maybe save their job with the Falcons, maybe save their contract with the Falcons and whatnot, because there are going to be a lot of changes. Now, to all this noise that's going on, you know, players and coaches and front office and whatever else is going to happen to Flowery Branch after the year is over, you know, the rumors that have been flying around about both coordinators being gone, I have a sense that one of the coordinators will be back.
My money's on Marquand Manuel, yeah, Coach Marquand.
My money's on Marquand Manuel being back, too.
I just seeing what he did with this defense, piecemealing this thing together. You lose a player at every level, and you still go out there. And there's been spurts. Like, I look at this defense at times. They played their butt off. They played head and shoulders above their station a couple times. And if your offense is sputtering, then it's hard to play defense going back out there knowing that, you know, offense is not really doing anything to help you out. Time of possession has killed this team in the last five or six games that I can recall. That's a lot of I would venture to say that most of the guys, and I know they two platoon, but you're talking about probably 60 to 70 snaps defensively a game with a bunch of guys who were somewhere playing Call of Duty. Like, some of these cats were playing Call of Duty a week before they got the call. Some of them were in the secondary playing and was at home playing Call of Duty. So that's a tough one. And you piecemealed it together enough to hold one of the most explosive offenses in the game. You slowed them down. Didn't stop them, but you slowed them down. As a matter of fact, you kind of put out a blueprint on how to slow them down. You put that blueprint out there. That blueprint that the Dallas Cowboys followed, that was the blueprint that the Atlanta Falcons laid. So there's that. So I think he did a pretty good job under the circumstances. I really do.
And, you know, Mark Weinmanuel, Dan Quinn being a defensive guy, Mark Weinmanuel being his guy, there's no reason not to, I think, keep him. I think the defense, you give Mark Weinmanuel a chance to have Deion back and Keanu back. Hopefully Rico can come back. And, you know, whatever changes you're going to make in terms of the draft, if you get a defensive tackle or whatnot, I think I'd give Mark Weinmanuel another year. Absolutely. It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you need a place to watch the game on Sunday, the official Atlanta Falcons watch party is noon Sunday at Taco Mac Metro in Midtown. Prize giveaways, cheerleaders, Chuck Smith's going to be there. Again, the Taco Mac Metro in Midtown, starting at noon, will be the official watch party for the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. Did you hear what Cam said? We have the audio. Cam was shooting his mouth off about something that was kind of interesting. Oh, no, not that Cam. The other Cam.
It's coming Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Register for free now and you might win a grand. Sign up at 929thegame.com/gamebowl. The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship. From Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We have no Thursday night game to talk about from the National Football League because there is no Thursday night football game last night, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
But there are two games on Saturday tomorrow, and they're both on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and both are impactful to the playoffs with the Washington Redskins taking on the Tennessee Titans up in Nashville and the Baltimore Ravens going to Carson to face the Los Angeles Chargers of Carson.
Baltimore. Going to Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, so the old Cleveland Browns against the old San Diego Chargers in Carson. And boy, are the Chargers a team that you think that could they actually be here? Could they actually make it
here? They got a chance. I would say they got good a chance than any in the AFC. NFC is a little bit different. You know, I know the Dallas Cowboys laid a big old stinker last week against the Indianapolis Colts, but they still got a chance. The Eagles got a tough one this weekend against the Houston Texans. You know, people are having shades of last year with Nick Foles at the quarterback. So, NFC, it's you have some teams. We got the front runners. They have a couple teams that are still alive. But the AFC, yeah, it's like they get hot at the right time, man. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we're going to be watching is, you know, potential Super Bowl preview. Because, look, we don't know. What we don't know about the AFC is because, you know, is Kansas City without Kareem Hunt going to be able to hang on? How hot are the Chargers? Will a team like the Ravens make a jump? Can Brady find the magic again? Blah, 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 blah. And in all that mix of teams in the AFC, because you could almost convince me that any of them could come out of that mix, that sit the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the problem with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as I see it, is we don't know what we're going to get from the Steelers on a week-to-week. You know, some weeks they look really good. Some weeks they look really bad.
They play well against the Patriots, looked like to me. Because in that last couple minutes of two minutes, I just knew Tom Brady was about to march down the field. And that defense stepped up big. They stepped up big in that scenario. So the Steelers look like they might have gotten past the turmoil that they had early in the season.
You know, Big Ben has been the subject of a lot. Been kind of in the middle of a lot. Well, he's always in the middle of a lot of stuff. But this week against the Saints, Cam Jordan, star defensive end of the Saints, was asked about Big Ben and talked to the reporters and were talking about whether or not Big Ben, if he'd rate Big Ben among the five best he's ever seen. And this is what Cam said:
might be going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to get sacked 20
times. Is that true?
Roethlisberger, yeah. So
really,
what did this offense do well
in this era? You put him at like a top three of this era.
I wouldn't put him at a top three, but I think
top five of this era. Who would be your top five? Drew,
Tom,
Aaron.
Aaron, who got less Super Bowls than Roethlisberger, but let's keep going. His
numbers are impressive. So you're saying he?
You're saying numbers are impressive.
His numbers are always impressive.
Okay,
Aaron. Okay, so then you put him right there.
Roethlisberger doesn't have decent numbers.
Peyton
who?
Manning. He's not.
Well, I didn't even count him in the
era. This is the era. He retired 2 years ago.
Him in the era.
That was most of Roethlisberger's career. You're saying he's better. He's better. He's better than Philip Rivers right now, career wise.
Career wise.
You give him the Super Bowl or not? Is that what you say?
Yeah, he didn't have a more accomplished career than Philip Rivers.
You're putting him at number five.
Yeah, I put him in five.
Okay. I'd honestly put Eli before I put Ben, but
what?
Okay.
What?
Two Super Bowls. If we're going by his numbers.
Except
exactly.
Except Eli washed.
Those are the, I hear you.
This was my take on this. I heard this. And although I do not agree with him, it's not like he just said something just to be saying it. And that's what is interesting about what he said, because he's put a lot of thought into that. He's put a lot of thought into that. This was not – it just so happened somebody caught him when he was – I guess he was thinking about it. I guess he was having one of them days where he was just sitting up and he was just rating the better quarterbacks in the NFL. He makes a strong argument. He makes a strong argument. That's why I can't be mad at Cam for feeling the way that he feels, because this was the problem that I always had with Hall of Fame voting and whatever. Is it numbers or is it Super Bowl appearances? And it seems that over the past few years, it's about who wins championships, because that is the deciding factor. When you talk about quarterbacks and what they've done in the game, if you've won a couple Super Bowl rings, if you've won a ring, then you're automatically in the conversation for going to Hall of Fame. Like that's a fact. Like, so much so that if Trent Dilfer put together a strong case, he could probably make a case for going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's how it is.
You think Joe Flacco?
I was being facetious.
Yeah, Joe Flacco has more of a Hall of Fame chance, say, than Matt Ryan.
I would say yes. I would say if you're looking at it from fan perspective, as a person who casually watches football and a person who knows what teams were championship teams, I would say yes. I would say yes. Knowing that when you look at Matt Ryan, if you want to compare Matt Ryan to a quarterback that has accomplished a lot but hasn't had a whole lot of winning, Dan Marino. And the reason, like, and I know some people in the car be like, all of your feelings. But when you look at the numbers comparably, the season that he had, what, 4,000-yard season? Like, how many consecutive 4,000-yard seasons? Something crazy like that. How many consecutive 200-plus yard games that Matt Ryan has had in his career? Yes, Matt Ryan is flirting with Hall of Fame numbers. Yes, he is. No, I know a lot of people don't want to agree with that. Look up the quarterbacks' numbers that are in the Hall of Fame right now.
Oh yeah, Matt Ryan.
And Matt Ryan's
right.
He's flirting with those numbers. But when you look at some of those quarterbacks, they've won championships. Troy Aikman has probably, when you look at the numbers of quarterbacks, Troy Aikman's numbers are not that great. They're not that great compared to the other quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame. But he's won Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the argument for this era.
But that would be the argument in favor, back to Big Ben here, because you say, okay, it's Brady, it's Manning, it's A-Rod, it's Drew Brees. Then you have to almost go, okay, then it's either Russ or Ben because they have rings. So, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger's on the edge of – you have to put Ben, if it's about rings, ahead of Phillip Rivers, ahead of Matt Ryan, you know.
When you look at the numbers
– you know, he's right in that group.
Okay,
right,
say if you looked at strictly numbers, he made – the argument for Phillip Rivers is a strong point, like comparatively mm-hmm. speaking.
Right.
That's a strong point. But unfortunate for this argument – that the numbers don't matter. It's the visual. It's the Super Bowls. That's what it is. That's it. That's what we compare everything to.
You know, I know. And is it? But yeah, I've always wondered whether it's fair to, like, you know, if you go back and think Fran Tarkenton or Jim Kelly or you know Dan Fouts, or who didn't even get to a Super Bowl, you know, or Dan Marino, who got to one in his rookie year. You know, whether that's fair, because football, you know, they don't play defense.
You know? And you're talking about. Think about it like this, John. If who are you talking about? The Fran Tarkentons,
mm-hmm.
the Jim Kellys, the guys like that, they wouldn't even be considered for the Hall of Fame in this era. I mean, just think about it. They wouldn't be considered for the Hall of Fame in this era. Remember when Phil was talking about us and completion percentage for quarterback
mm-hmm.
and how it was like, what, 40-some percent or whatever for that year? He was ecstatic about that. It's gone up because the game is more friendly to quarterbacks nowadays. And you look at the numbers that those guys were putting up back in that day before they changed all the rules and everything, those were gaudy numbers. And if you put up those gaudy numbers as a quarterback, yeah, you got considered that because that's how hard it was to play that position. They made it so that it's easy to be a quarterback, so to speak, in air quotes, to be a quarterback in this day and age. So,
yeah, right. Well, you think about all the old school quarterbacks and go back and watch them at the end of their careers, you know, limping all over the field because they were so beat up. You know, their knees have been torn up. Everything had been, you know, they've been decimated by those pass rushes over the year. And now they protect the quarterbacks better because they want to protect their investment. You know, right. They changed the rules on how you cover receivers. The game is more a wide open game. There's no question.
Yeah, but I respect what he said. Now, I don't agree with it. I think Ben Roethlisberger, and partly so because I'm looking at the Super Bowl numbers, but he put a lot of thought into that. It was not nothing that he just threw out there. He put a lot of thought into that comment that he made. He really, really did.
Yeah, the Steelers and Saints, who knows, maybe it's a case where we'll see those two teams Sunday and maybe we'll see them right back here in Atlanta. Let's hope not because, yeah, you haven't had a chance to comment, Hugh. It bothers a lot of Falcons fans, the idea of the Saints practicing at Flowery Branch. I know it's the rule, but, man, that does not sit well with us. Just saying, does not sit well. What, Arthur?
I've got nothing to say.
Man. Into our place, that team, and I mean, just the concept. Chuckery said, well, it's only going to be two or three practices. Oh, I don't want him setting foot in there. This, you know, should be blocked at the door. No, you're not coming in here. Yeah, I know they don't have any say about it.
What are you going to sit in a tank? Up at 75, 85?
Form a picket line along Phil Negro Boulevard. Hey, do you have a Christmas? Let me try that again. Do you have a Christmas wish, a sports Christmas wish for the city of Atlanta? Let's stop and think about that for a second. What is if you have a Christmas wish for the city of Atlanta for sports? What is it? I'm going to give you mine. We're going to give you ours as we continue next on a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A Super Bowl is a spectacle like no other.
No one else has the NFL or Super Bowl 53 coverage like us because we're your home for the NFL in Atlanta. Super Bowl 53 plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Busy Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Still to come to the program at the top of the hour, the College Football Notebook will get the latest on Justin Fields and DeJuan Mathis, the stud quarterback that flipped from Ohio State to Georgia. Signing day had some interesting things to say, and we'll discuss that a little bit about where we stand with Justin Fields. We'll get into all that at the top of the hour. And, of course, bowls are going on, but honestly, I don't know. It's not anything that has anybody watched? I used to watch all the bowls when I was a kid, Hugh. I mean, of course, there weren't that many of them back in those days, maybe 15. Now there's like 40.
Yeah, there's a lot of bowl games to watch if that's what you want to do. Watch the bowl games.
Yeah, I don't really want to watch MAC teams play. I'm just that's not.
You want to see no MAC?
No, I'm not. I am not MAC-ing.
Well, you're saved because you have other options now. Back in the day when we were kind of growing up there, John, you didn't have a whole lot of options. So it took the place of watching rerun comedy this time of year or rerun dramas.
Right, but yeah, that's true. But since there were so few bowl games too, all the matchups tended to be pretty good. They were a lot of high profile teams. I mean, back you weren't getting into a bowl game at 6-6 or anything like that. I mean, you had to be a big name team and whatnot to make the bowl games back in those days. And now it's just like you know anybody that can make it. Hey, did you have a non losing season? Good, come on over. You know, I mean that's kind of how it is. A
lot of money in bowl games, though. I mean, and then everybody's trying to get on the bandwagon to get in the game, you know, get that money for their school, get that exposure for their school, and you know, play that extra game. It's good.
So do you have a Christmas wish, sports wish for Atlanta? Like, for example, Hugh, would you want my Christmas – you know, this isn't mine, but you could say my Christmas wish is for Justin Fields to stay at the University of Georgia and become a star there. That could be your Christmas wish, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Christmas sports wish for the city of Atlanta?
You know what? AT asked me this morning. And I would say my Christmas wish would be that Atlanta fans wouldn't be so sensitive about certain things. I love y'all to death, but y'all can be a little sensitive at times. Like a little bit. Love y'all to death. I know I'm about to probably get some heat, but listen, I've been on vacation. I feel like being real. I feel like keeping it 100.
So you just
love you to death, but
we're not sensitive. We're not sensitive at all in any way.
You're sensitive to this. Yes, you are. Yeah, right, yeah, there. A little bit.
Because it's like, but then again, I try to understand, because I try to understand. But sometimes, man, it's just like, damn, I'm just complaining about everything. Like everything you complain about. And it's just like, gosh. You know how many times I've been ran out the city? Seriously. I've been ran out of the city about 50 times since I've been here. And it's always around football season. Good thing about it, safe to say, I won't be getting ran out this year, maybe. We still got a couple days left of the year. But nobody asked me to leave anytime. In the last couple months, nobody's asked me to leave.
There's still time.
There's still time. But that right there, to me, is the most, like, I've never... Like, I worked in Philadelphia first. You know, Philly is tough. But, dude, I've never been anywhere with, like, if you say something that people do not wholeheartedly agree with, they will run your butt. They be like, man, get out of here. You ain't from here. Dude, I'm just giving you my honest opinion. But, you know, that I wish they quit being so sensitive and quit trying to run me out of town.
Wendy, do you have an Atlanta sports Christmas wish that you would like to have?
Yes, for the Atlanta Falcons to make the Super Bowl. They obviously can't hoist the trophy until 2020 when it's played next year, but that would be my Christmas wish.
Arthur, do you have a sports Christmas wish for Atlanta?
He might want to keep this one to himself.
Yeah, I do. Comedy aside, I would love to see the Hawks get the overall pick.
Number one pick overall.
And because I've – main reason, I sat in enough lottery rooms – to know the feeling of not getting the number one overall pick and how deflating it was. So, yes, that's it.
Yeah, I wonder, that would be a huge story. Do you have a sports Christmas wish, Daryl, for the city of Atlanta?
Well, between Hugh and AT, I think I'm out of wishes. So I just want to wish everybody a happy new year. How about that? Praise God.
And we're going to probably do a little social media on this. I mean, you could pick, like, for example, Atlanta United hiring the right coach. Another great one might be that Miggy Almiron doesn't go to the EPL and stays in Atlanta. Maybe the Braves get Corey Kluber or they get a star. My sports wish is that the Saints do not make the Super Bowl. That is it. Just anything else, any other combination of any of the other 12.
Hey, I'm going to put this out to the listeners because I'm sick of John right now. Mm-hmm. If one of you, I have no capabilities of doing any Photoshop. If based on that previous segment when I said he's going to be in a tank on 75-85 preventing a certain bus from going up there.
Oh,
if you guys can put him in a tank.
You know, put Arthur in a
Jeep. No, I said you. If they could put John in a tank like he's Robin Williams from what movie was that he was in with Eddie Murphy?
Best Defense?
Defense.
No, that was Robin Williams, though.
The British dude.
I can't, but I remember Looking Best right Defense.
At. Yeah, put John in a tank for me, please, and send it to me at X Hoops PR Guy because I'm going to have some fun with that.
What do you think I'm going to be Michael Dukakis sitting in a tank and, you know, with floppy ears?
Yeah,
and
he lost too, so you may lose on that choice.
You're so funny.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody has been going crazy. You, D-Led, everybody. You guys are my friends, and there's no hate intended. But we haven't even played a playoff game yet. Why are we worrying about the NFC representative using the Falcons facility this far? We still have 2 weeks of the regular season.
Because we're in Atlanta. What you was just talking about. We're a little sensitive to this particular issue.
You just proved Hugh's point.
Well, I wasn't going to tie that in, but I was sure thinking it.
I tweeted it yesterday. I said, there's so much hand-wringing about this right now. We don't even know who's going to be here.
The teams have not even been set yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I called the PA yesterday, you know, just trying to figure out some of the festivities that are going on here for the Super Bowl. They haven't even finalized their list. They're not even prepared. Like, they're prepared, but they're still working on the intricacies of the stuff that they're going to do here.
And we just want those swag bags.
I want the swag bags. I do. I think I'll put on some clothes for those. I was thinking about that, seriously. And I made some phone calls because I got some friends coming to town, and you know they're going to be here. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get them swag bags.
Well, Arthur, it's you know, because I've never lived down in the swamp, so I don't know this. So I don't know how many Falcons fans are down there because people generally don't move from Atlanta to New Orleans unless they're forced to by gun. But there are a lot of you know, people that have been paroled and settled here, and we hear it from them all the time. They just want to, we're gonna practice at your facility. You know, I mean, come on.
I don't think people are even caring about that right now. But hey, have at it. If you want to have your fun with it, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this Justin Fields story. If Kirby Smart thought it might go away and not be the one thing that everybody talks about going into the Sugar Bowl a week from tomorrow, well, not only is it not going to go away, Kirby has embraced the fact that it's the one story everybody's going to talk about going into the Sugar Bowl. And so, all right, good. That's what George is going to talk about between now and game time against Texas. That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.